So hi, I'm Jag Raman. Thank you all for being here. So I would like to give you a quick update on the status of DRTM using the Trench Boot project. And then I would also like to give the so today we'll go over what DRTM is briefly, its current status, and how we decided to implement it. DRTM, or Dynamic Root of Trust Measurement, is a form of measured boot. It is an evolution of static core root of trust measurement, or SRTM, where the trust resides in hardware, but it starts at the power on event. There are a few disadvantages to this approach, which is that the TCB for SRTM is large. It starts measuring various software components right from the power on, including the firmware, grub, and other software modules which don't play a role in the execution of apps in the OS. It also makes re-establishment of trust in TCB a little complicated, as we will revisit later in the presentation. In order to address these drawbacks, the Trusted Computing Group introduced a new model called the Dynamic Root of Trust Measurement, where the trust still resides in hardware, but it does not necessarily start at the power on event. It can start any time that we choose based on our implementation at what is called as a DL event, or a dynamic launch event. We will go over the advantages soon, but this is a diagram from the TCG specification that gives a timeline of DRTM. There are three distinct phases. There's a gap phase where we don't understand the trustworthiness of the TCB. We are not sure if the TCB is compromised or not. And there's a pre-gap phase where we know that the TCB has not been established because it's coming out of power on, or we believe that the TCB has been compromised. And there is a post-gap phase where we believe that the TCB is trusted. So this gives a block diagram of various components involved in our implementation of DRTM. It begins with the SKINIT AMD instruction, and that kicks off the measurement process. It clears all the PCRs in the TPM, and then the trust propagates all the way to the OS, where we have a established TCB. The current status of this project is we have divided this into two sections. One is the power on phase, which executes when we come out of reset, and that we have implemented it. There is another phase called the relaunch, which my coworker Ross Philipson is still working on, and we will provide an update when it's available. And what relaunch does is, whenever somebody believes that the TCB has been compromised for whatever reason, they can save the user state, jump back to grub, and kick off the DRTM again. And then it should be a quicker process. And when we get back to the OS, we restore the user state. And now we have a quickly established trust without losing the user state. So this one goes over the differences between Intel and AMD approach. But the most important thing is how similar they are. That's because the Trench Boot project already had an implementation for Intel, where it used Intel's ACM, or authenticated code module, which is provided and signed by Intel. So for AMD's approach, what we did was we replaced ACM with SKL. And SKL is something that the Trench Boot community develops, and then we actually sign it ourselves. A couple of other differences between Intel and AMD is that the DL event for Intel is the S-enter instruction, whereas for AMD is the SK-init instruction. Intel uses TXT, and AMD uses AMD Secure Processor, or ASP. This provides a bit more detail on how we implemented DRTM. So as you can see at the bottom, the hardware components used in the process. The first one, most significant one in this case, is the AMD ASP, which is a pre-existing piece of hardware, and they extended it to support DRTM by implementing a user app called the DRTM UApp. DRTM UApp has a state machine that drives the TPM, and we can control that using a mailbox register from the CPU. The TCG spec requires the presence of some hardware for DRTM that can cryptographically measure the software modules and extend these measurements to TPM. And the spec also requires that we block access to the RAM from I/O devices when we perform the DRTM sequence. So when we start off the DRTM sequence, the grub is the one who initiates this phase. So what grub does is checks if the system supports SKInit instruction, and if it does, it blocks the a large section of RAM from I/O devices, so we can't, so somebody cannot modify what we are measuring. And what it also does is disables or it parks the all other all the auxiliary or application processors and only lets the bootstrap processor running for the measurement process. So once grub sets up the pre-gap environment, it kicks off the SKInit instruction with the address of SKL binary as the operand. The SKInit instruction first verifies the signature of the SKL binary. Once the signature is verified, it measures the SKL and then extends the measurement into the TPM. It also sets the TPM, or it unlocks the locality 2 of TPM, where we are able to write to various PCRs, which is not possible in other localities. So now that the hardware has confirmed that SKL signature matches, it's what we expect, and then SKL does the same, and it boots into what is called as the measured launch environment, which is essentially a Linux kernel, which without an init RAMFS. Instead, it has a uroot, which is our own Go-based file system, which we adopted from open source. What uroot does is it checks the PCRs, reads the TPM for the PCR values, and compares the value against what we expect it to be. If there is a match, then it will go ahead and unlock the secrets necessary to jump into the target OS. And the MLE also brings the auxiliary CPUs out of the parked state, so now all the other CPUs come back alive, and it also enables access to the RAM from the I/O devices. So this part quickly goes over the individual sections. We already saw this in the previous diagrams, but just to quickly mention, the role of the grub is to set up the pre-gap environment and to kick off the DRTM sequence. So grub sets up the ICRs. It puts the auxiliary processors in a parked state, and then we start the DRTM sequence. Secure kernel loader is a binary that so the diagram here describes the layout of the binary as defined by AMD. So we have to conform to this layout. And then it measures and extends the MLE kernel. And then it, so currently we sign the SKL binary ourselves. And MLE is the kernel that has uroot, which makes, which confirms the PCR's match, and it also makes policy decisions whether to unlock the secrets or not. So this is our upstream status. So we have patches in review for Intel TXT support. We are still waiting for feedback. Thank you. And then we've got some significant feedback. So we'll be posting a V8 of the patches shortly. Thank you so much.
So you want to take questions at the end?
Before we switch.
Yeah, or are there any questions to Jack regarding that part?
Do you have any questions?
Jack?
Yeah.
Simon, we have a question.
Oh, hi.
Hey,
hello.
Can you measure the BIOS in Grub?
So the question is, can you measure the BIOS in Grub?
Yeah.
So in this case, we can measure it, but we are choosing not to do it because we want to keep the TCB as tight as possible. So we are not measuring those modules in this case.
What if someone replaces one of them, you wouldn't notice?
In general, Grub does not have access to the PCRs which are available for DRTM, so you cannot measure. You can use SRTM together with DRTM, and sometimes even suggest that it is better approach. But in general, Grub is not able to do measurement in the same registers in the TPM as DRTM does. So they are completely separate works.
Yeah, hello, hi.
I have a kind of similar question.
Yeah.
What about code running in the SMM?
So
how DRTM can, I don't know, disable, isolate, or whatever?
So we had the same question. So the question is, what about SMM, and what if somebody gets control of SMM, they can take over the system? So we had the same question for AMD, and their response to us was SMM is assumed to be trusted on AMD platforms.
You don't measure firmware, so how?
So
this is not exactly true story. Like, this is probably a quick answer from someone who delivers BIOS.
Okay.
But to address that, is there are some mechanisms that AMD delivers, like containerization of the SMM,
mm-hmm.
and there is essentially in spec stated how to do that. And of course, Secure Core PC from Microsoft that requires that, and they implement that. The Secure Core PC certified devices implement that, so it is possible. There is just no open way right now. The spec is there. Someone can implement that.
Project New got some open calls
for that, so this can be used as a reference. To also comment Simon's question, the point of DRTM is to re-establish root of trust. So that's on purpose, technology created to neglect what was before. So just to avoid all this complex supply chain, which is bare by BIOS. So that's the purpose of the RTM. Of course, this is not so easy, and then we can go have very complex discussion about SMM, DMA, and all that stuff. Yeah, but I guess like we can move that to after party, because it's then getting very complex when we go that way. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
How about now? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start. So thanks, Jack, for that. So you already know a bit about the Transroot project. So now we will take a look about another practical application of Transroot project as anti-EV made solution in CubeCS. My name is Maciej. I am currently over 7 years in 3MDEP, currently at the position of engineering manager. I'm an open source enthusiast, interested in embedded systems, contributing to various open source projects. As 3MDEP, we are involved in various open source communities, mainly Coreboot, Yocto, but also others such as FWPD. We are also OpenPower Foundation members. We did some work on Raptor, Talus 2, Power 9 platforms. So what we'll talk about today, we start with some we had already some introduction about the Trenchboot in general. Now we will have some introduction about the KubeCS anti-vRMage solution based on Trenchboot. What is its current state and what are the further plans? So pretty simple. Let's see. So we will not cover the whole progress. It's regularly updated on various conferences. We've given some status updates on the last two KubeCS summits. So we'll cover the progress since the last one, which was October last year. You have links if you want to watch the previous ones, feel free to. So just a few words about what vRMage attack is and why we want to prevent that with Trenchboot. So vRMage attack is a one when you leave your device unattended. Someone has physical access to that and can tamper with that. And you, for instance, come back to your hotel room and you don't know whether your device was tampered with or not. And the anti-vRMage solution aims to provide you with some tools to maybe not prevent, because that would be quite difficult to prevent such attacks, but at least give you some information whether your device was tampered with by some external person or not. In terms of KubeCS, we have a KubeCS anti-vRMage solution, which was already there. It's a set of scripts. Right now, we are improving, extending that based on Trenchboot to support a broader variety of hardware, for instance, TPM 2.0. And it requires TPM, so it requires some piece of hardware. And also, it requires DRTM, which was mentioned before, so some silicon vendor feature, either from Intel or by AMD currently. So what's the current state? In short, we have released two milestones in the last month, and we are just starting another one. If you want more details, there are links to GitHub milestones. These three were funded by the NLNet Foundation. So yeah, links are there, and we'll now briefly cover each of them. So the milestone number two, it was about KubeCS anti-vRMage solution on Intel boards with TPM 2.0, because previously we had only some support for 1.2. As you saw before, there are many parts in Trenchboot project. In the previous presentation, we saw a bit maybe different use case because we saw the one with Linux kernel. With KubeCS, we use grub and then Xen hypervisor, and not Linux directly. So for each milestone, for each phase, we have a set of GitHub actions releasing the packages, so you can download them and install in your KubeCS installation. We also have a blog post which describes how given milestone was verified, so you can also reproduce that if you are brave enough. So as the project is ongoing progress, it takes already a few years in total, we can say. There are some changes in the upstream Trenchboot boot protocol, so the phase three was aiming to align with that, with the Trenchboot anti-vRMage solution. So again, we have a set of packages you may use and install. And we also have a nice blog post you can read to have some more insights on that one. So we are just starting phase four, as I said before. That one is about AMD platforms. We want to cover both TPM 1.2 and 2.0 solutions. We are still selecting hardware. Right now we think about ASUS KGP DX16. It's quite old already, but it allows us to verify both TPMs. It can also have open source firmware based on core boot. So that is one we might use here. Another one is some super micro board. There are some cubes 4.2 installation issues. We have some discussions open, so we are still considering that one. At least with the latest version, there were some problems. What are the further plans? So after we finalize the, or maybe not after, we are already scoping the phase 5. Its goal is to bring UEFI support as well, because so far all of the previous one were focused on the legacy boot only. For the phase 5, we want to support both Intel and AMD platforms with both TPM 1.2 and 2.0. So we are finalizing the scope to gather the what needs to be done basically, and we plan to publish that as another GitHub milestone. So if you're interested, you can also follow that topic. And definitely the UEFI one is interesting, because nowadays it's the most common one for many boards. So it brings opens up a wider hardware variety in terms of what we can actually test on which boards we can use that solution. Another thing on our roadmap is further improvements of testing and documentation. As you saw, the project consists of multiple moving parts. We have Xen, we have Grub, we have anti-vmage scripts. Installation, even though we have some CI, we have some packages, CubeSOS packages being built, it's still a tedious task to do it manually to test recent changes. So we are aiming to automate that as much as possible. In the last status, we shown some progress in that area, but it was only on QEMU to have some automated installation of the anti-vmage solution. Right now we are pursuing to move that forward so we can also use that on real hardware units, not only on emulation targets. And also it would be nice to automatically pick up packages from GitHub Actions with latest changes to see what the result is. Another one we are interested in is upstreaming AMD Linux patches. Maybe it's not directly related to the CubeSOS anti-vmage solution, but to Trendboot it is. So Jack said about the Intel upstreaming effort, which is very demanding task. As we see, it's version number 7 and counting. We've secured an Ethernet grant for AMD equivalent of that port, so we could be able to help here. So we need to sync up on the latest changes with Oracle. Ideally, the Intel patches are merged, so we can have easier time posting another set of patches for Trendboot to the Linux kernel mailing list. Another areas we are interested in, as we are developing a Dashara open source firmware for some of the platforms. So we have control over the firmware part, and we can make sure that all of the properties required to actually use the trench boot can be properly configured. And if there are bugs, we can at least try to fix them. So that would be very nice to have trench boot running with cubes and perhaps also without cubes on different hardware targets supported by Dashara. We already do use some of that. For instance, on the Dell Optiplex, one of the older series, we use that one for testing for the current phases. So we use a core boot firmware with CBIOS as a legacy solution to test what we currently have. But we aim to also, once the perhaps phase 5 is completed, with the UEFI support perhaps the Nova Custom laptops, which are already certified in CubeSS as well. And another idea, since the testing is mostly done by us at that point, we could use maybe some help if there are some folks interested in that. We know there are, because we have already some reports, but it's not that easy to jump into that. So we're considering also to make it a bit simpler, maybe set up currently you can already download packages from GitHub Actions, from GitHub releases, but maybe we can set up a package repository with TrenchBoot packages with TrenchBoot patches, so you can more easily install them and try them out if you are interested. If that sounds too interesting, you can feel free to join Matrix channel. Let us know so we can try. We can gather some attention and see what can be done here. So that was it. Any questions? Sure.
I have a question. As I saw, you are strongly insisting on still implementing support for PM1.2. I wanted to understand, why do you want to support so such hardware? And do you have any hardware which supports DRDM and PM1.2? Very interesting for me.
So the question is, why do we still support TPM 1.2, and do we have hardware supporting that? Yes, we started with TPM 1.2. So for instance, the Dell stations showed here, they have TPM 1.2. These are like yes. But they can run core boot. They are really open source, because they can have even more initialization natively in core boot without FSP, correct? So there are quite
similar for ThinkPads EX230.
Yes,
they also have 1.2.
When they were produced?
Quite a while ago, but it is the last one that you can have fully open.
Implement, okay, run core boot and Talisman.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, you can have RAM init open source and ME discarded as much as possible.
Okay.
So they are popular among those people, which are here on the first demo.
I understand that on such old platforms, you do not support the files.
Well,
I understand.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's good. You?
We will, anyway. I have to test the UEFI bug for TPM 1.2.
Yeah, I know.
And
two questions. One, you mentioned you fetch in your CI packages from GitHub Actions. How